sooner or later, Christians are going to have to come to the understanding that they cannot figure it out. The big lie that's in the world today is this Eastern mysticism. The answer is within yourself. Search your heart. It ain't in you unless Jesus is in you. It ain't in you unless the Spirit of God is in you. The nature of Adam is corrupt. There are no answers in that corruption. You can dig to the bottom line of that corruption, and all you'll find is more corruption. There are no deep spiritual truths in your heart by nature, because you have the nature of Adam, and his nature is one of corruption. It's that simple. It's a lie. You know all this, use the force, Luke. Reach out with your feelings. It's a lie. There is no force except the spirit that's working the children of disobedience. There is no force in nature by nature. Paul says, I know no good thing lives in my flesh. We must submit ourselves to God. It must be Him who lives in us. Then the answers can be in us. The answers come from heaven, not from men. The answers come from heaven, not from men. Even Jesus, as a man, though he was God by nature, he came down here and took the form of a servant, a man. And as a man, he acknowledged this. I'm going to read some things from John 17 as that Jesus prayed to the Lord. And then we're going to go into chapter 18. And I want you to keep them in mind. You tell me whether Jesus is trying to just give you what happened to him was just a physical happening, an event. When he was taken into bondage and arrested and then taken before Pilate and Herod, was that just a physical event? Or is there a pattern in there that means something for us? Is there a spiritual meaning to what went on? Is there a spiritual meaning to everything that happened in Jesus' life that has a representation spiritually for the church, what it is we must go through? Does God have a plan and a pattern and a propriety? We're reaching the point now where the Lord is revealing that Jesus is our pattern. We are the body of Christ. And what happened to the head happens to the body. What the head goes through, the body goes through. The servant is not greater than his master. If they hated our master, they'll hate us. Jesus told us, didn't he? And Jesus, when praying to the Father in verse 6 in chapter 7, he says, I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. I want you to think about that. Everything you've given me comes from you. What does this tell you? All spiritual revelation comes as Jesus did, from the Father, from heaven. Jesus isn't the man from Nazareth. He's the man from heaven. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and boom, a child was born. He wasn't born of Adam. He was the man Adam, or no one like Adam, could produce. Because all in Adam were in sin. Jesus is from heaven. Revelation comes from heaven. Even the Old Testament, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, men wrote as they moved, were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's from heaven. All prophetic revelation has its basis in heaven. And they're manifested here to us through the physical. Not only so we can hear them, but so we can see them played out. They're played out in the shadows, so that we can see the spiritual truths. The physical testifies to the spiritual. Even the things that are made, that are seen, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, the things that are made were made from the things that are seen were made from what is not seen. Even the things you see had their origin in heaven. It all come from the Father and by His will, not by any man's will. And so you must be born now, as Jesus said, from above. Not by the will of a husband, not by the will of the flesh, not by any man's design, but by the Spirit. You must take on that image of heaven. And it only comes from heaven. No prophecy, it tells us, was of any private interpretation. It's not of a man. But men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Revelation comes from there. So what does this tell you? You ain't going to figure it out. Even Jesus acknowledged, everything that I have, you gave me. And everything that I taught them, you gave to me. And I gave them only what you gave to me. I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. Everything. Revelation comes from God, not of men. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. What does this tell you? We're not of this world. We're born from above now. We're not born of the flesh anymore, and we don't walk after the flesh. We're born of the Spirit, and we walk through faith. We walk according to things we don't see, not the things we do. Tell me a man's going to figure that out with his carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God, as it tells us in Romans 8. It's not subject to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. You can't figure it out in a corrupt mind. Jesus said in verse 10, all I have is yours, and all I have is not. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I'll remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture may be fulfilled. Now, I want you to remember what he said there. None has been lost. None has been lost. Now, when we see that, I want you to understand this, that this is the key so you can see how the physical testifies to the spiritual. When he said none has been lost, was he speaking of spiritually? Or was he speaking of physically? None has been lost. Of the ones you gave me, none has been lost. Is he speaking spiritually or physically there? I want you to hold your answer in abeyance here for a few minutes, because we're going to get to that. It'll surprise you. And you'll understand suddenly that when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking more than in just one way. He wasn't just speaking physically, but also spiritually. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture may be fulfilled. And this is what Jesus prayed for us, that God would protect us. He goes on to say, as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What basis is this relationship of faith that we have? It's the same basis that Jesus had. A revelation of the Father that comes from heaven. Knowing Him, not knowing about Him. See, that's all men can do is learn things about Him. It takes a revelation from God, Him to introduce Himself to you, for you to know Him. And that's only by entering in communion. And God is Spirit. He doesn't commune according to the flesh. He communes through the Spirit. Jesus' body and blood has opened the way for you to commune with Him. So in verse 25, Jesus says, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me. I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them." Wait a second. I will continue. I will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them. But Jesus has just got through saying, "Father, I'm coming to you now." What does he mean he'll continue? Because he told the disciples he would send them the Comforter. He would send them another Counselor. And he will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is what Jesus means when he says, "I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them." How is it in us? By that portion of the Spirit, that Counselor that came, huh? That portion of his Holy Spirit, that's a seal in us. That I myself may be in them. That I myself may be in them. I'm coming to you, and I've made them known to you. I've made you known to them, and I'll continue to do that through the Spirit I'm sending back. Can y'all see that? That's what he's saying. How many of you can see that? Let me read it to you again. "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me, and I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." That's how he's going to continue, even though he's going to be crucified right there, that I will continue to make them known, that I may be in them, make the love. That's through the Spirit, that deposit of a Spirit he's given us, the Counselor, who will lead us and guide us into all truth. And that's where our dependency is. That's how we, as a mortal people, have a communion through faith with a living God who is Spirit. Because Jesus has made us spiritually alive through faith. By sharing his Spirit with us, he has made us partakers of that divine nature. So that through his righteousness, we can boldly go before the Father's throne and come to know him. This is the basis of our relationship through faith. Now, with all that in mind, listen to what we're going to do. When he had finished praying, chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, we're going to see, and I'm just going to give you a few examples. I'm going to leave a lot of this unspoken for you to get into in your own prayer time with the Father. But I'm going to ask you if you see some of these things, some insights here that only come by the Spirit. Now, we were adopted into this olive root, and we're branches of that olive tree. So our fellowship is in that root, right? Isn't it not true? Branches, as it says, were broken off, Romans 11, so we could be grafted in. It is a cultivated olive plant. And our fellowship is only in that root, which is Christ, right? And our fellowship is not only in his glory, but also in his sufferings. Our fellowship is not only in his glory, but also in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. Well, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley, and on the other side was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. You see the fellowship of his suffering there? Do you see? This is what Jesus meant when he prayed, "They are one. I pray that they may be one as we are one." Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Let me tell you something. You know, let's step back for a second. Let's talk about what Judas knew. When Jesus said, "I've made you known to them," they'd met there often in the olive grove. "I've made you known to them." That's where they had their private time together, huh? That olive grove is where he had his private time with his disciples, huh? That's the last place they were with him before they come and took him away. That's where they had their private time. They're in the flesh, you know, in their bodies. In that olive grove. Guess what? It's the same place. Because listen to what Jesus said. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you sent me. That's what they know from that communion in that olive grove. I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. Now that olive grove is in the Spirit, isn't it? Our fellowship is still in His sufferings and in His glory. We're still having that. We're still having that fellowship with Him in that olive grove, aren't we? Can everybody see that? Can everybody see that we're still having that fellowship where His disciples did in that olive grove? So Judas, who betrayed Him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with His disciples. And He still is. But now it's spiritual. It's not according to the flesh. Now we have the meaning. See, I want you to see where the physical things here in Jesus' life have a meaning for us now. So Judas came to the grove there with a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to Him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am He," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. Does that have a spiritual meaning? When they came with lanterns and torches to take Him away, and clubs? And they said, "Who do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And He said, "I am He." And they all fell down. They drew back and fell down. Why? What does it mean? You know, it's one thing to say it happened. It was an event. It was a physical event. But what does it mean? Jesus had just prayed. You're forgetting the prayer. You're forgetting the prayer. "Glorify me now, Father, with the glory I had with you in the beginning. I have glorified your name. I've finished the work you gave me to do. The name you gave me is the name that protects them. And I gave it to them. That name, the Anointed One, Christ." You know, God is the Anointed One. You know that, right? It's the name that God said, "I alone save. I alone, there is no God beside me." And it shows that Jesus is one with the Father. Savior. That's what Jesus' name means. The name you gave me, I protected him with that name. And it all comes from you. And what did God say about Jesus' name? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Did their knees bow at the name of Jesus? Did their knees bow at the name of Jesus? "Who do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth." Boom. Suddenly they were on their backs and on their faces. That quick. Every knee will bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. "I am He," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again He asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am He," Jesus answered. "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." Now I want you to think about this for a second. The second time Jesus said, I am He. This is a symbol that it's not by any human power that Jesus was taken away. It's true what He told Pilate, and it's demonstrated here. You would have no power over Me except the power that's given to you. It's true what Jesus said, no one has taken My life, I am laying it down. You see what happens when they try to take? Boom. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. They didn't take His life from Him. He laid it down. The second time, who are you looking for now? Jesus of Nazareth, they said again. I'm He. I told you before. If you're looking for Me, now here comes His authority, again demonstrated. Here comes His authority. I told you I am He, Jesus answered. If you're looking for Me, then let these men go. This happened so that the words He had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those You gave Me. Now there's a physical answer to Jesus' prayer. What did He say? While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave Me. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. All right, I told you before I'm He, but let these men go. His authority. Here is authority. I protected them. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave Me. None has been lost. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction. I told you I am He, Jesus answered. If you're looking for Me, then let these men go. And this happened so the words He had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those You gave Me. The protection was in the authority of His name that He gave to them, that the Father gave to Him. Why aren't we walking in the power that God gave us? Do we really understand? Do we really understand? Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, and Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given Me? Again, acknowledging that this is the will of God. Nobody's taking His life. He's laying it down. Wasn't it also at the Father's command that He came to earth to begin with? It was to please His Father to begin with. He not only laid His life down here on earth, but He laid His life down before He ever got to earth, because He laid aside what it meant to be God to become a man at His Father's will. And again, He asked the question, this is My God, this is the Father's will. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given Me? Can you see no one took His life? He laid it down. And it shows His authority. Doesn't it show His authority? But look, first of all, look at the double meaning here. He protected His disciples by His name that none would be lost. Well, there's two ways to be lost. That's why I asked you the question, what did He mean when He said, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe, that the name You gave Me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. It's not only physical, but it's also spiritual. And can't you see through this that none was lost there? None of the other disciples had to die with Jesus because He protected them. But isn't it true that none of us will be eternally lost because no one can take us out of Jesus' hand? Again, His authority. And it's not just here on earth. It's there too. It's true in both ways. Now, if you can see that Jesus has protected them in both ways, and He's referring to the physical here primarily, none has been lost, this was spoken to fulfill, what he had prayed in that garden. None had been lost. Well, it's also true that none of them have been lost to eternity too, isn't it? So what is physically true here is spiritually true now for all of us. What happened with Jesus as an event, what I'm saying, is what's going to happen to the church. The servant is not greater than his master. And it won't be because they took our lives. It'll be because we laid them down. You see it? Because this is going to happen to the church. One of these days, they will come to that olive grove. They will come to our gathering where we gather. And they'll come with torches and lanterns and weapons. And they're going to come looking for us. And they're not going to have to beat us. It's true. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. We're not going to defend ourselves. Just like Peter cutting off Malchus's ear, Jesus said, no. That's not how we do it. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Our trust is in God. And shall we not drink of the cup that the Father has given us to drink? As he told his own disciples, can you drink from the cup that I'm about to drink from? Let me tell you the truth, you will drink of that cup. The servant is not greater than his master. What happened to Jesus is going to happen to his body. These are more than just physical events here that happened to one man. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to the collective body of Christ. He is our example in every way. He is the pattern for this church. And it is the pattern established by God, not men. And you ain't going to figure it out. It's got to be revealed. And how is it revealed? Righteous Father, though the world doesn't know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. And I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. He's the head, we are his body. And he is in us. And what happened to him will happen to us. And he's going to reveal to us through the Scripture, by the Spirit, what will happen to us. We walk by revelation of Christ. You ain't going to figure it out. But God has not left us without a guide, has he? Both physically and spiritually, the Word and the Spirit, he's left us the truth, where we don't have to guess. We just have to be in fellowship with him.